Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Julieta Talebi, and tackling your questions this evening are Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments and Ashraf Mohammed from Corner Peace Capital. If you'd like to send questions to us, please SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Wayne, Ashraf, good evening to you both. Ashraf, as the, I suppose, the guest on the Wednesday show, if I may start with you, it was a pretty flat overall day for the market. Resources stocks doing, some of them doing okay. Do you get a sense of tentativeness in the market ahead of the Fed's decision shortly?
Yeah, so it's a big week in the US. You've got the Fed decision this evening, 8 o'clock our time, and then on top of that, you had Alphabet, Microsoft out with results. I see 3M was out with results. So a lot of large US corporates also out with results this week. And I think on the back of that, one should expect some measure of volatility. Naspers was the big drag on our market today, down 3%. And again, I think that's more just China sentiment floating around. Rio Tinto came out with results this morning, and we've seen results from Amplat giving guidance, and Kumba, sorry, giving guidance for the Anglo's numbers. But Rio's, you know, down, the dividend was down 40%. So I think that's what we should be expecting from some of our miners.
Yeah. But just going back to Alphabet and Microsoft, and Wayne, the results both seem to be better than the market had feared. I mean, the market gets too fearful, and I was looking at some of the comments in articles on the results, and if I can find the comments, of course, no, I can't. But essentially, there's a bit of relief that everything isn't falling in a heap. So do you think, you know, we have to take the swings that we're seeing in markets with a bit of a pinch of salt, that people get a little bit hysterical and they get too nervous when they really shouldn't be?
Now, look, there's every reason to be nervous. I mean, this is the first time since 2010 that we've had high inflation and high interest rates going up. Or more correctly, it's the first time since 1981 we've had high inflation at this level. So there must be a huge degree of uncertainty in the market, and I think that that's quite normal. However, this round of rising interest rates, I don't think is going to result in an earnings recession, simply because we've spoken about this. There's no debt bubble that's going to burst. So the economy might go into recession and earnings will come down, but we're not going to get the double whammy that we normally do during a period of rising interest rates, where earnings come under severe pressure and the rating of the market also comes under severe pressure. So I think it's only just the rating of the market that's going to come under pressure. So the earnings shouldn't be catastrophic going forward, but there's every reason to be cautious on the market because we haven't had this set of circumstances either for 40 years or for 10 years.
Okay. Well, this is a question that is maybe typical of a confused and apprehensive investor that came through a little bit earlier. And he says, hi, team. There are talks of a possible global recession. If this happens, how long do recessions last usually? What will happen to the markets? Will they drop 10% or will they collapse by 50% or 50% plus? What will happen to the dollar? Where would be the best place to park money? Should I sell 50% of my portfolio and keep it in cash for now? Ashraf, that would be a bit of an extreme move, I imagine. But But clearly it's a fear that maybe a lot of people have.
That is a loaded question, and Wayne will tell you that's a half an hour presentation right there. So let me answer part of it. And markets move in anticipation of recessions, and we've seen the bulk of that move already. I don't think we're going to see a 50% fall in the market. In fact, I don't see more than another 10% fall in the market. But if you listen to Nouriel Roubini, then he's saying another 30% downside in markets. My view is that we will not have an earnings recession, as Wayne mentioned earlier. cash flows remain strong in companies like Microsoft and Alphabet, as well as Meta or Facebook, as people note. And, you know, just going back to Rio Tinto, they're still sitting with net cash. And in 2015, when commodity companies underperformed, they were all sitting with huge net debt. So commodity companies are coming into what you could call an earnings recession, very strong balance sheets, and they're able to support the capital, their capital expenditure projects. Mm. So I see this very much as a shallow recession, and it's really Europe and the US that will ultimately record recessions.
Okay. Sort of lost you right at the end there, but Wayne, on the question of selling off 50% of your portfolio, what would you say to someone who has that question in mind?
Look, first of all, I agree with Ashraf in all respects about the market and about the economy. It's exactly my view. Look, it's always difficult to get your timing right on the market. Every now and again, the market does give you some indication, warning signals, but it's too late to sell now. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be selling. And I think we've got to, you know, you can identify broad tops of market. You might identify it 2 years and 20% before it actually hits the top. But, you know, these periods of excessive market valuations do occur every now and again. And of course, it's easy to see it with hindsight. But it again comes back to human psychology. The day when bad news peaks is the day before the market stops falling and turns up. So you feel absolutely at your most depressed and you want to sell everything you've got, let alone 50% of your portfolio, because you're surrounded by bad news. Mm. I mean, don't expect to hear good news anywhere, because there is only bad news. That's why the market's reformed. That's why the market's falling. That's why we're anticipating a recession. That's why people are worried about earnings. That's why the market is down 3%, 4%, 5% on certain days. Now, don't get too caught up in the emotions, either positive or negative. And obviously, at the moment, it's just negative emotions. You must be very cautious. I wouldn't sell 50%. As I said, I think it's too late to sell already.
Yeah, and also the question is, I suppose the other question would be, well, what would you sell? If you're saying it's too late to sell, are there still some shares that maybe, I mean, would that be a blanket, you know, irrespective of the industry that the share is in?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's you wouldn't, well, what you wouldn't sell your consumer staples, you wouldn't sell your utilities, you wouldn't sell your retailers, you wouldn't sell your banks. But highly cyclical shares and expensive shares you may sell. So maybe, you know, if you want to sell possibly some mining shares, although I think the longer-term outlook for mining is extremely good because they've spent no capital expenditure. And as Ashraf said, the balance sheets are in exceptionally good condition, but I still see some downside there. And then sell the expensive shares. Maybe there's more downside in the FANGs. Maybe there's more downside in IT. Maybe there's more downside in pharmaceuticals. Hmm. But we are getting very close to the bottom. Yep. If quite honestly, we may have even seen the bottom already. I still think there's 10% to go.
Yeah.
But we may have already seen the bottom. And certainly, if I was faced with a decision today to say, you have to decide today, it's the only opportunity you got. Do you buy shares, yes or no? You're not going to get another opportunity to buy shares for the next 3 years. I would actually buy.
Yeah, okay. Ashraf, I don't know if you want a last word there or if I should move on to a different question.
No, I think we can move on.
Okay. So. Well, now there's a question on buying. So what are the pros and cons of buying bond unit trusts versus retail bonds? We had a similar question a little bit, to some extent, last week. And when would it be favorable to buy these bond unit trusts? Your thoughts?
Now's as good a time as any. I think that foreigners have largely sold out in terms of their holdings. I've seen regular foreign sales of South African bonds, and the yields on the 10-year bond is very attractive. So now I think it'd be a good time to go and buy SA bonds, and you'll be collecting a very nice interest.
Okay, but would you would you rather buy a bond unit trust? So, you know, you have a spread of bonds in the unit trust, or would you rather buy an RSA retail savings bond, which is a very sort of simple instrument?
Yeah, I'd rather buy the bond unit trust because to me, there's more capital upside over the next 12 to 24 months.
Okay. I mean, Wayne, your stock pick last week was the 10-year bond.
Yeah.
So presumably you would concur with Ashraf that you would rather buy that or a bond unit trust, which is kind of how a retail investor can access it, rather than an RSA retail savings bond.
Look, to be honest, I've never bought an RSA retail savings bond, and I don't know how that market works. But I do know unit trusts, you can get in, you can get out. There's liquidity, they're properly regulated. So I would just go with the unit trust.
Yeah. I suppose this is the problem with the RSA retail savings bonds. You're locked in for a certain period. So you are there, you've got a term, you've got 2 years, 3 years, or 5 years.
Yeah.
And then you have interest rates that is obviously better in the five-year bond. Okay. A very quick question before the break. On Omnia, it was one of the shares that came off very heavily today. I wasn't sure if it had gone ex-dividend, which may explain some of the fall, but it just...
Ex-div.
Okay. Please ask the panel if Omnia looks like a buy after today's 12% drop at 64 Rand, having traded as high as 83 a month ago or so. Ashraf?
I think that Omnia is one of those that has benefited from higher mining prices, increasing mining activity in South Africa, and as well as improved agricultural activity in the country. So I don't really see it as a buy at these levels, but any further weakness, I'd definitely pick it up.
Hmm. Wayne, how about you?
Yeah, look, Omnia went down 8.75, of which 8 Rand was dividends. So they paid a 2.75 ordinary dividend and a 5.25 special dividend. So it fell 75% effectively today for existing shareholders. I quite like Omnia longer term. Yeah, I would also buy it.
Can I just ask, AECI also came out with results. So similar sort of industries to some extent, fertilizer, chemicals, explosive. There were record numbers, but the share came off. And I was wondering if it's because, why was that? Was it because it's got a much higher debt and that's got to do with sort of stockpiles and a bit of cash flow management? Any particular reason why the market didn't respond at all and actually hasn't done so over the last 6 months to AECI?
Well, look, certainly the results were good, as you said, but they've increased their debt enormously. It's gone up from 22% to 44%, odd, if I remember correctly. And I think the market will be a little concerned about that. I mean, the debt levels in itself isn't that high. It's just the percentage increase. Mm. But the market is wary at the moment. And I mean, I know the retailers came up with fantastic results and they were rewarded handsomely in the share prices. But, you know, retailers are a lot less cyclical than a company like AECI. And if there's talk of recession, you know, maybe the market won't actually reward it right now.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to move on to Merafe. In fact, two questions, interestingly. Sometimes you get clusters of questions around particular shares. And the question is, Merafe had a good sense on the output to the end of June. Is it too late to be buying up the share? Ashraf, I'll start with you.
Yeah. So Merafe is one of those that has always promised a lot. They're starting to deliver in terms of production numbers, and it's not one that I'm entirely comfortable with. If you're wanting to look, you know, in the mining sector, my stock pick tonight is a mining company, but you can look at companies like Northam, you can look at Rio Tinto, you can look at BHP Billiton, far better quality and cheaply rated as well.
Mm. Yeah,
far less risk.
Yeah, because this is pretty much it's sort of a one-trick pony, really, ferrochrome.
Yeah.
It's got a joint venture with Glencore. Wayne, but it is quite frustrating, as Ashraf said, Merafe has promised lots and then has these periodic spurts higher, but then it always kind of dribbles back and you get sort of perennially disappointed with the thing. But they have got a lot of cash, and you wonder why the share price doesn't necessarily reflect the cash that they have on their balance sheet.
Look, the share price in the last couple of years, they've done phenomenally well. You know, it's gone up, 70 cents to 150.
Yeah.
You know, so it's certainly been a good performer. But generally speaking, in investments, it's not a rule cast in concrete, but generally speaking, you think twice and blink your eyes and sleep on it a few times before you buy a single commodity company. It just relies on one single commodity.
Yeah.
And when looking at the share price of Merafe, I mean, it is at a record high, if I'm not mistaken, or virtually close to a record high. And I would be a little cautious to go in and buy now. But it's heavily cyclical. I mean, you get it right, you make a fortune. You get it wrong, same as Kumba, you know, you lose a fortune.
Yeah.
It's a difficult share.
I don't think it's close to record high. I mean, if we can bring up a 10-year chart on Merafe, we'll see. Certainly in the last couple of years,
years, it's probably a record high.
Yeah.
Although I
am sure I remember Merafe at two rand odd a share, sort of closer to 3 rand a share, at least 10 years ago.
It's quite possible, yeah.
if you bought it then, you're not really happy.
Yeah, it hit a recent peak of 2 rand and is back at 1 rand 50 now. But I mean, this thing was actually below 50 cents, I think, in 2020 and 2021.
Yeah. Okay, well, there we've got a chart up, and yes, as you say, it's on a five-year basis, it has been close to record highs in the last few months. Can I just ask you, sticking with resources, and Ashraf, not to preempt your stock pick, and hopefully I don't, but Anglo Platinum's results that came out this week, and I asked Natasha Fulyun about their operating margins. You know, at 59%, they're massive. They're not as high as they were last year when it was 71%, but they are still way in excess of their own internal targets of between 35 and 40%. So does that mean, as an investor, if you're looking to buy a share in a mining company like Amplats, which has got plenty of cash on its balance sheet, prices are still fairly stable, but the operating margin is still that much higher than their own internal targets, then actually you're on a hiding to nothing. Does it still mean that you're actually buying at sort of peak PGM and you're not going to do well because it's almost inevitable that it's downhill from here?
Well, your operating margin's a function of two things. One is price and the rand price of the commodity, and two, it's your operating costs and how you manage those costs. I think that the management teams of South African mining companies have done an exceptionally good job in managing the costs down, and that's why they've benefited. The second thing is they haven't gone out and done acquisitions, although Northam and Impala are battling for Royal Bafokeng. Hmm. But that aside, these guys have utilized their cash more efficiently and made shareholders happy by paying out special dividends.
Yeah. Certainly if you look at that chart there, you're buying it at half the price it was in its recent
peak. Half the price, yeah.
So, but I don't know if that's half, that 50% down from almost 2,600 rand a share is the right price or cheap or expensive at this point.
Yeah, I think it's very reasonable value. I must say, probably should on a 3 to 5 year view buy it now. But you must remember their return on capital beating their own targets. That's on historic capital. Their target, the target that they use for return on capital or investment will be how they evaluate new projects.
Okay.
And the one difference between platinum shares and virtually any other shares, there's limited availability. So normally if a company is showing 75% return on capital or 50% return on capital, they attract competitors. Everyone wants to jump into that particular industry. You can't with platinum.
In fact, I think Amplats was, am I correct in thinking it was 150%? It was some massive figure.
It's quite possible. I mean, even who was it? Well, I can't remember, but one of the mining companies came out with their results and, you know, the return on capital, even with earnings falling 50%, was still 98%. but that's on historic capital. Okay. But remember, don't forget that 2015, these companies were virtually bankrupt.
Yeah, it is still an astonishing swing. So, you know, if you're new to the markets, go back 10 years and look and see what's happened to these companies, and that totally illustrates cyclicality, I guess. I wanted to ask about Aframat. Ashraf, they came out with an announcement today that they're going to raise some equity capital, roughly 5% of their market cap. The market cap's about 8 billion, so that's, what, 400 million rand? Do you think that's a good move?
Yeah.
I can't recall Aframat issuing equity capital, or perhaps I've just forgotten, but this seems a first for them.
Julieta, it's not one that I follow, but, you know, if they, as Wayne mentioned earlier, if they can get better returns on their capital, and therefore, you know, the issue price of the shares, and the capital they invest into projects, if they can get a better return on that, then no issues from my side in terms of them raising more capital. Some companies do it by dividend reinvestment programs. You see that on a lot of the REITs because management feel they can hold on to the cash, purchase additional assets, and give investors a better longer-term return.
Okay. Wayne, I don't know if you followed this one.
They're known as savvy capital
allocators. So would you say you would back them?
Yeah, look, the 5% of the market cap as a rights issue is not that massive. I mean, the company's shares is trading more or less at a high, so to issue at this stage is not the worst thing to do. And it's still at a fairly decent price-earnings ratio. So, you know, certainly if I was a shareholder here, and I wish I was because it's actually done very well, I would certainly take up the rights. So I don't think this rights issue is going to be a major issue, major problem.
Okay. And it certainly is for expansionary projects that they've sketched out in the SENS announcement today. There's a question on Sasol. What is a good entry point for Sasol? Wayne, just sticking with you for the time being.
Yeah. Look, it's very difficult to say on what an entry point is, but I think the oil price in the next year, 2 years, whatever, I don't know the time scale, is going to be 70 or 80. Somewhere it's going to be significantly lower. So, you know, the Sasol entry point might be well below where the current price is trading. Because you must remember, I know there were technicalities involved and there were all sorts of funny things happening in the world oil price. But within living memory, literally 2 years ago, you know, this was a 20 Rand share. Mm. So I suppose if it falls, I mean, if they want a number, if it falls to 250 Rand, you know, go and buy it.
Ashraf, what are the odds of that happening in your view?
You know, it's a function of the oil price and how much longer the war goes on. Speaking to commodities traders in Asia last week, they were telling me that they're expecting a very, very cold winter and they're saying above $120 for oil. So, again, it depends on how the war in the Ukraine goes and how much more oil they can get out of OPEC Plus.
Mm. Okay. All right. So I think maybe the answer to the entry price question is anyone's guess at this point.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll get into your stock picks this evening then. Ashraf, if I may stay with you, you hinted at a mining company. Which one is it?
Yeah. So the one that's popular amongst the stock pickers on this show is Sibanye. It's on 3.6 PE. I did some work on it last week. And given its strong pay down of its debt over the past 2 years, I can see them comfortably paying a dividend equivalent to a 10% yield for the coming 12 months.
Yeah, and you would be far happier picking it up at under 40 Rand than 70 Rand a share, I imagine.
Absolutely. And you've just got to remember that, you know, even though Neil Froneman has been threatening to do transactions, he hasn't pulled the trigger on any one. So he's still sitting with a cash pile in his balance sheet.
Yeah. Okay. Wayne, how about you?
Look, I'm going for ShopRite. I mean, the retailers are doing much better than what anyone anticipated, the actual underlying earnings. I know the share is at a 20-plus price-earnings ratio, which is quite high. And I know the share has done well, but they just seem to have it all together. In fact, maybe if Stockpick should have been the retailers, except for Woolworths, any retailer, because they are doing phenomenally better than what the market anticipated. The underlying earnings are fantastic. Mm.
Why did you single out Woolworths as your exception there?
Well, I know that this current results were badly affected by Australia, but that wasn't their company, it was Australia. But even when you look at the food, I mean, the food sales didn't shoot the lights out there. Mm. Yep. They barely covered their own internal food inflation rate. And the apparel and the home and all of that stuff's not doing all that well. I mean, they weren't bad results, but in comparison to other retailers, they were, you know, quite poor.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we shall leave it there. Wayne, Ashraf, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Good to chat to you both. Wayne McCurry is from FNB Wealth and Investments. Ashraf Mohammed is from Corner Piece Capital. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a good evening.